This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Normally, obedience brings order, obedience brings discipline, which is good for communities. It brings peace, love. You can grow if there's order and obedience. And it's actually the opposite of rebellion. Rebellion doesn't want to submit. Rebellion doesn't want to be obedient. Rebellion wants to do its own will. And we see a lot of, what you call it, when people go to the streets and say, I want this. Protests. I want protests. I want to get that one now in English. Protests. It's a way of saying that you're not happy with the authority over you. But how do you do it? It's hectic sometimes, as you can see. So the absence of obedience and discipline can be rebellion. It can be, there's often no peace. It can be strife, covetousness, jealousy, aggression, self-love. When you put yourself above the thing you have to be obedient to. Some of us immigrated to this country, and the country where I come from was not, we had rules, but not so many years here. So sometimes it's just too much for me, and I think, oh, and another rule, and another rule. But it brings an order in this country. Self-love can be very self-centered, and often it can be against submitting, because you put yourself above someone else. Self-consuming, and in itself perhaps it can bring depression or escapisms. Escapisms like alcohol or TV or social media, as Yolandi said. Games. Exercise, smoking, buying, eating disorders, anything. There can be a lot of replacements if you want to do it mindful only. Yeah? Okay? But obedience, especially to God, if we are obedient to God, it brings peace. Yeah. Even when we have to walk on water, sometimes God asks us of us difficult stuff and it really stretches you. It's not a funny season, but even in that stretching, even in that uncomfortableness, you have peace. Because you know that you know this is what God has for me. This is His plans, and it will be good. Because we have trust and faith in God, that He is a good God, that He is a good Father. Okay, If you submit to God, you struggle less with strife, you struggle less with covetousness, you struggle less with rebellion and aggression. Because it's a sense of serving God. So you're not all into me, myself, and I, which is often the opposite. Okay, let's look quickly at love. We have obedience now, then love. I've shared it before, so some of you know this. We had a girl, she was 24, and she stayed with us till she was 27. And she had a very tough upbringing. And when we had a disagreement, me and her, she will always feel rejected. She thinks I hate her. When I will say to her, will you please put the cups inside the dishwasher, otherwise I need to put it as well in the dishwasher, and you're all there now. You brought your cup to the dishwasher, so would you be so kind to just chuck it in the dishwasher? And then she said, why do you hate me so much? And that is loveless. But I said to her, no, I love you, and I care for you, and I want you to fit in. And that's why I ask you that. She ran away of her nightmares, and often she would wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and then she will go and run outside. And it was not always a safe area where we lived. And then I would say to her, I forbid her to run outside that time of day, of at night. And, why do you hate me so much? I need to run. I said, I care for you. So loveless means I do not care. Just do whatever you want. So that is not love. Love comes with obedience and discipline. We often say that when we have children that they feel secure when there is boundaries. If you have too big boundaries, too wide, it makes you insecure. And that is loveless. If I did not care if she ran, if she comes back, well, we'll see whenever she picks up or not, that would have been loveless. So often we think love is something that is not discipline, that is not rules, that is not boundaries, that is not... love means anything goes. Unfortunately, that's not the love that God has for us. Anything cannot go with Him either. So now we have the beautiful slide of the... which you, so imagine it now, of the heart. A few sermons back, I had a sermon on heart-to-heart connection, and I on the slide was a heart, a simple picture of the heart, how the blood comes in the heart, and then how it is pumped out the heart to the lungs. There it gets oxygen. Okay, there's oxygen in the lungs, and then from the lungs it's pushed back into the heart. The oxygen rich. I'll just carry on. The oxygen rich blood is back pushed back. Pump back to the heart, and from the heart it pumps it all over the body. Okay, and the sermon was about connection with God. So when the oxygen goes to your blood goes to the lungs, it needs oxygen. So it exchanges the CO2, the CO2, calcium monoxide. Carbon dioxide, I think that the earth is too much. We have a little meter in our room now that checks the humidity, the carbon dioxide, the temperature, and the something that is in the air. Whatever, dust or stuff in the air. So whenever the air is in the room, then it goes up the CO2. So seemingly he breathes a lot of CO2 outside. So I said to him, perhaps you're not good for the environment. But he's a blessing to me. So I will ensure the low oxygen levels. So in the lungs is our connection with God. It was beautiful in that sense, that our connection with God is the breath of life. Now, when we were created, God breathed in Adam, and he started to live. And that breath of life, that O2, must go to our whole bodies. Also, if you can see figuratively, to the body of Christ, what is the church? That is the church. Okay. So we had obedience. We had love, and then we had this heart thing, heart-to-heart connection. So how much does God love us? We just had Christmas, some of us celebrate Christmas. We are thinking then of the Christian, most Christian people think then of the birth of Jesus. So, and we have that John 3:16 verse then in our thinking, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in or trusts or clings to or relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction or be lost, but have eternal life. This is the Amplified translation, so that's why there's a few extra words in it. So God the Father, God His Son, God the Holy Spirit loved us so, so much that Jesus was prepared to come to earth to die for our sins so that we can have a relationship with God, and when we die, that we may go and join God, Trinity, forever. The Holy Spirit was prepared after Jesus' resurrection and God leaving for heaven. The Holy Spirit is prepared to live in all of us. Okay? So you can see it actually as the oxygen. The Holy Spirit is prepared to live in us. When you come to encounter one, it really helps you to understand little basic things which we sometimes miss, but as soon as you need to share it with someone, you realize, perhaps I don't have this 100%. Perhaps I missed here and there. So the first time when I had to share the gospel with someone, I wondered, what do I share actually now? Especially when it's someone that doesn't believe and doesn't know the Bible at all, so you can't start with scripture. So where do you start? So it's also an encounter one that you learn what is the Holy Spirit. When are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? When do you receive the Holy Spirit? And we look at scripture. And I just want to repeat, everything I say, we must relate to the Word. We want to speak only what is on God's heart, what He wants to say to us, and it must be according to the Bible. Okay? So if you find I say anything, or any of the preachers say anything that you feel is not biblical, come and say to us, come and share with us. Because we really try to just say what is in God's Word. So that's about the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, when Jesus came, if you read in Isaiah where Jesus was, the prophecy of Jesus coming, and then later on Jesus read it in the temple, and he said, I am this person who was prophesied about, to set you free, to heal, to make the blind see, to... there's so many things that is why he came. It's not just so that we can have eternity with God. Trinity. There's a lot of stuff more. And often we miss that in our daily life with God. We miss the being set free. We miss the healing. Because we don't know that it's actually available. And we don't know really how to grasp it. So come to come. Okay. So when Jesus came to earth, he died for all of that. So if you have to die for someone, most probably it would be your child, but otherwise, I don't know, were you prepared to die for someone? Do you or me, am I loving someone so much that I'm prepared to die for that one? Even if he is not kind or with aggression or is mean. And this is what Jesus did. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they agreed upon that Jesus would come and he would die for us even while we were sinning. That is the biggest love that we have ever. I think not one of us is prepared to have such a big love. And then it also says in Philippians 2 verse 8, and after he had appeared in human form, that is Jesus, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Are we prepared in our obedience to die? Are we prepared, the disciples did, eventually, they died for their faith. Are we prepared to die to ourselves? And perhaps this sermon is a little challenging for some of us, but just ask God to stir your heart for what He wants you to learn. I know that God has shared with us a few times in intercession that the Shepherd Church in His body, we are part of the bigger body of other churches, the Shepherd Church is the bow of the ship. It is the point of the arrow. So, is it crowded there? No, it's not necessarily a big thing. It's the point. But it does break open it does make the way for the ship. Yeah. So I think that is why God stirs it also now when I share the rest, that He's really into getting us ready for Jesus to come back without blemish or wrinkle. No, that's what the word says. Being ready, being conformed to what Jesus wants us, to what God the Father wants us. Okay? So, and the example gave was Jesus. I don't think he thought it was funny to get crossed on the cross, or when he had to go to hell to conquer evil there. But it was out of love that he could do that obedience. And yeah. It also says, if you, in John 14, verse 15, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. So if you have this connection with God, now I say, no, when I do this, it's in your lungs, the connection, when you can hear his voice, and if you cannot hear his voice, we would love to pray with you. It's important that we have a relationship with God. It's not a one-way thing. He wants to share with us what is on his heart. He wants to share with us what he wants and what he loves. Then if we know what is on his heart, then we can obey that. It says also in John 14, verse 21, the person who has my commands, my with the capital letter, God's commands, and keeps them, is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show or reveal or manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. It's a promise. If you love God, you want to have a relationship. We often make this example. If you love someone, you need to have a relationship with someone. It's not out there. It's a communication between us. And then we will live according to God's will. How will we know what is God's will? We read in the Bible what God loves and what he doesn't love. So it's easy, that's kind of easy to a big thing. And then when you speak to him, when God speaks to, when me and Duncan had to come to plant this church, God spoke to us. And he confirmed it with intercessors, with two different intercessor groups. Now when we feel God is saying we need to scout out Nijmegen and go there and plant a church there, us will think, man, this church is so small. What is going on? Why would you need to now also go there? You know, it's not for me to decide. It's his church. It's God's church. And if he wants to make another shepherd church somewhere else, I must just say, Lord, how? Where do you want me to be part of it? What can I do? So then God said to us, we must go and scout with the scouting mission. A few of us went there. It was wonderful. And we prayed. Nijmegen is in the cross. So we prayed at those places where God told us to pray. And now we wait for the next step. Okay, so there is a commitment to God. I'm quickly just going to highlight a few. Moses, if you think of Moses in the Bible, he had to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Was it his own will? He didn't even want to start with it at all. It was God's will. He was not so into it. He was actually scared to go back there because he killed a person. But he listened. Okay? How did God speak to him? To the Bible? Through the Bible? No, he spoke to him. He communicated with him. David listened to God. When God wanted worship, he was obedient. It would have been very cool if David could facilitate our worship with all his instruments. Okay, then Noah. You know, when Noah built the ark, it didn't even rain. So why on earth will you have to build a boat? The mist, moisture, the ground. I didn't know it until I went to the ark. There's a guy who built a replica of the talk in the neighborhood, and I think in his foyer in silence sometimes, it was very impressive. The size, and I think they have these fake animals, the size of a giraffe or an elephant, I would say, a gorilla. But then you realize how big that thing was. But Noah was obedient, even if it didn't make sense to him. How did he know God wants him to build the ark? He was the first guy ever to build the ark. There was no thing in the few books that they had or that they could read and say, okay, this is how you do it. This is, he listened to God. And we can also hear his voice and listen to him. If you think of Gideon, the poor guy, when he had to fight with only, was it 600 people? 300. Against a humongous crowd, I didn't look it up again to see how many they were. And God said, yes, I want to reduce your people so that it will be a miracle. That's when God stretched you. Now, your own brain tells you, this is so stupid. This is not going to work at all. But if you know for sure God told you that, you walk on them. It's Him, His promises that must fulfill it. We know you cannot, physically you cannot. When I pray for someone to be healed, I know I cannot make you healed. But I have seen some when I've prayed that God does it. The one that when we prayed for the guy's leg to be longer and I saw it physically grow in front of my eyes, I was super chilled. I was so happy. I thought, wow, this is really true. It's God does it, but we must just follow. If He says, that don't do this, and you don't do it, you're not obedient. No? Then we miss the way He has for us. Jonah often back and says, we came to the Netherlands because we don't want to be like Jonah, because you eventually he had to go. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. And he was on the ship, and the ship nearly sank, and then they threw him overboard because he ran away. He didn't want to do what God asked him to do. So in that sense, like Jesus died, we also died to ourselves. It's not anymore about if I think it's cool or if it's convenient or if there's heaters or aircon or water or whatever. It's not about that. It's about God's will. The prophets, often they had to prophesy stuff that was not very favorable. Even some kings didn't want to listen to the prophet. He had his own prophets that would prophesy according to the king's will. So you know, disciples, they were also obedient. So the last word, in the beginning we had obedience, love, the connection, and the last word was surrender. Dagan last week had, he shared a little about the guy who wrote him, and Dagan's sermon was about surrender, so I'm not going to say too much about it. But that this guy realized he wanted to serve God, and he thought it's a good thing to study theology, and he wanted to come and help us at the church. And it sounds godly, yeah? It sounds very cool. And then Dagan wrote him back and said, but perhaps you must hear what is God, what does God want? And I did kids' church last week, so I don't know exactly what you read in that letter, but that he realized when he spent a day with God, that he realized God said to him, it's good to study theology, but you will not arrive when you finish the degree. It doesn't make you more able. I can use you now already. You don't need to be eventually there. I will teach you as well. So he even wrote another letter, and I'm just gonna read a few sentences out of it. It's also there, as you can see. It says, surrender. I sense the Lord continued to shape me over this past week, in that I felt Him tell me that I need to surrender every area of my life to Him. It was like He was saying everything in my life needs to be consistent with His calling, and that things can't be compartmentalized into ministry, social life, relationships, studies, etc. But rather everything needs to be aligned in glorifying Him. Amen. Yeah, it's as if He goes through the same season as what we need to preach now about it. It's beautiful. So how do we do this? How do we not compartmentalize our lives? How do we not only honor God on a Sunday when we meet for church? How do we do that? So quickly run through a few things. How do we do it practically? First, you need to connect to God. Okay, you need to hear what is on His heart for you. Okay, you can read the Bible or you can phone me. I say you phone me. Often I need to ask a moment, not often always. So I have a very good opinion about everything in life, but it's not always accepted by God. So it happened twice already in this congregation that I gave some good advice to someone. It was good to open advice. And then I went back home and I said to God, God, was this okay? What I said to this person, and God said, no, actually, it's not. It's not what I wanted you to say. So I had to find this person and I said, yes, my good advice was not according to God's will. It was not wrong advice, but it was not what was on his heart for that person to do that day. So I said, I asked God, I phoned him, and he said, no, this and this. So I'm sorry, I repent, I give it now to you what it was in on his heart, this and this. Because I know that will bear fruit. I know that will be a blessing. Not only to that person, but to those around him as well. So, yes, you can do life, which I did for many years, 42 years, do life according to my own thinking, which is a good thinking, I think. But of course, it fails. It's not always what is on God's heart. So, work. How will you not compartmentalize work? Especially if there's no believers at work, it's only you. You will be honest. God loves honesty. You will be in time. You know the discipline. You are paid for so many hours to be there. You will be focused those hours. You will not chat on your phone with other people because you're not paid for that. Okay? That can have his own, he still has his own business. Sometimes he said, yes, I pay the photo of the telephone calls, but I don't pay you to socialize with your mother or your uncle or your husband on the telephone for half an hour. I pay the telephone, I pay you the time you sit here, I pay that chair, the computer that you sit. So I expect of you to honor that and to work to this business who pays you for that. You can phone outside hours. I know it's perhaps more strict for you, but do you think of that when you are at your work? Perhaps many workplaces don't mind. But be focused when you work. That's why you are there. You are paid for that. Not to socialize or check your Facebook out or what. I've seen many Facebook is very old fashioned. But now, that thing. Are you loyal? Do you help others? Do you see good in others? It helps when you have a very difficult boss or a colleague. Thank God, ask him what is his idea of this person. What? He loves him, I can tell you now, more than you can ever. But perhaps this person is really rude and he expects of you far too much or whatever. Ask God, Lord, how shall I go around with this person? And as soon as you start to pray for someone, he doesn't need to know who she is. As soon as you start praying for that person, your heart attitude changes. And hopefully that person will change more according to God's will. Even if he is not a Christian, you can even pray that he will get a heart for God. And you're obedient at your work to the rules there. If they say you may not use the photocopier for yourself, then you don't do it. Then you ask permission. Because it's also in their time. It's their paper, it's their machine, they learned it. Often we don't think so. We think, oh, this is the work and it's available to us. Let's change our minds to what is on God's heart. Home, at home. How can we be in obedience to God in our homes. There's a few things in Ephesians there's overall in the Bible, there's guidelines. So we need to discipline our children. We need to make a safe place for them. Now, mom and dad is not supposed to have other relationships outside marriage. They need to be committed to one another so that it's a safe place for the kids so that they can be stable in their upbringing. Okay? It's easier said than done. Me and dad can, I think we are now married 37 days, something like that. 36. It was so hard work, it's already 37 for me. But, yes, do we agree on everything? No, we have very different personalities. Is it a challenge? Yes, it is. But you know, God can help you. There was a season in my life that I couldn't see anything good of that one. It was not that he was not, it was just I couldn't see it. And then I could pray and say, Lord, show me. Show me what you build in him. And then he revealed to me, he's very faithful, he's trustworthy. I said, yes, I know. So, it's good things. It's awesome things. But sometimes you're so frustrated with one little thing that you highlight that over all the other good things. And God wants us to have grace and mercy. God has great grace and mercy for us. When we are not following his will, he has grace and mercy for us. It's not what he wants. He wants us to follow his will. But he has grace and mercy. Okay, so write down, fulfill your role with kindness and awareness and no cell phone. It is so nice if you're available at home to the people at home, because you're supposed to be a family at home. So try to not be on your phone the whole time when you are at home. I saw it when we visited my dear aunt with our children and grandchildren during Christmas. People bring their children there, but they walk with their phones, and then the children are gone there. And then the children come back and call them. They are still on their phones. I don't know, perhaps he's a doctor and he needs to be on alert or what, I don't know. But be available. Look them in the eye. Be there consciously. Okay? The cell phone is really stealing a lot of good things. Good things of relationships. And God wants relationship. We cannot find God on the cell phone. Yes, perhaps if you download the Bible or something like that. But you need to communicate with him personally, okay? Then, when you're single, at home looks different, no? Connect with others. Don't isolate yourself. Enjoy the good of one another. Support, help, and pray, and disciple for one another. And be there for one another. Don't be, oh, this is my territory, and I don't need to be accountable to anyone. If you go say you go somewhere to be like a tourist, ask someone where. Yes, it's challenging because you cannot walk the whole time where you want to walk. Yes, you need to also think of the other person. But you know, God placed us on earth not isolated. So ask God. Ask him. Who must I ask? He can tell you to take the one that is very difficult, eh? Then you ask God's strategy to survive the day. Okay. As a student, how can we not compartmentalize student? Often you need to study a lot and sometimes even ungodly stuff. Perhaps it's part of your curriculum. But be focused, be faithful. Attend class, bring your assignments on time. Do your best. Don't cheat. Be a good student. Okay? When you're retired, now it's time to sit at the beach and count the stones or count the days or whatever. You know, when you're on pension, you have so much extra time. It is wonderful and beautiful what you can do with that time to God's kingdom. Yes, now you can also think, now I can travel the world eventually or whatever. If it's God's will, perhaps you need to meet someone there. But just for yourself, your own selfishness, always, if we chase the right things, do you need to see the Eiffel Tower? I did. Do you need to see the canyon in America? It's cool. It's God's creation. It's beautiful. But is that your goal in life? Perhaps God has placed you here for something else. And retired people often has lots of wisdom. I see Herr Monte. You know, I love every year I get older because you have a little more wisdom, you know not to be upset too quickly, too high. It is also okay. It will work out. And that wisdom is for me so precious, and I will not say I arrived, and I will not say I'm on pension. But it gives them more peace and a rest. You are calmer. Okay, and then at church. How can we be godly in God's will at church? The Bible says, do not lack to attend the gatherings of the church. So perhaps come as often as you can. Serve in the church. You know, in Marco now for many years, just serve the church with their gifts that they have. They don't get 1 cent for this. And every week, they have to prepare and be there. Why? Because God has given them this gift. God has stirred their hearts to serve the church, His church. It's not to get honored or to think, oh, they are super cool. Yes, I think they are awesome, but it is to serve the church. Once I had someone here who they did a fill-in for kids' church, and they chucked all the stuff back into the crates. And the next week when I got it was still messy and, you know. And then I went to them and I said, but why didn't you pack it neat? Why did you chuck it back into the crates? Well, the answer was because we didn't get paid for this. It's free work. Well, if you work for God, you do it honorably. You do it perfectly. It's tithe money that goes into those crates. So it's your own offering money that goes in. Let's handle other people's things with respect. Okay, I'm nearly at the end. So to God, obedience and love goes together. He loves us so much. We love God a lot. And then we want to be obedient to Him. And it's not really difficult. And I want to say to you, perhaps you feel all condemned today. Oh, only thing I spoke about is you need to be obedient and follow God. It's not that. God is kind. God loves us. He wants relationship with us. I can tell you, my years before I had relationship with God to my years with Him, my years with Him was much more challenging, but it was so much better. It was so fulfilling because you know you walk in His will, you know He gives you power and energy and focus when you lack it. The first months when they asked us in church to pray at the altar calls at the end of the sermon, I thought, oh Lord, I have no clue what to pray. But you know, God is so much into the other person, He loves the other person, He reacts on the altar call, He gives you words for that person. Then you think, oh, this was quite cool. But it challenges you. You're out of your comfort zone. And that's what I mean. We die to ourselves. We die to our own. Is it not self-worth, what you call it? When you, not identity. What does it mean? Men have egos. You die to your own ego. It doesn't matter what people think, as long as you're okay with God. If God wants me to pray, I miss it sometimes. It's not that I hear always very clear from God. But yeah, He's an awesome God. He loves us. If you're here, you're part of the bow of the ship. You're supposed to break open the water for other people. Be focused. Be focused on what He has for you. Because it's with a specific purpose that you're there. It's not just by accident. God doesn't work by accident. Okay. Would you be so kind to stand? Thank you, Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you love every person. Thank you that we can't even love everyone so much as you love, Father. Thank you that your heart is always for us. Thank you that you're kind. Thank you that you're a good Father. Thank you for Jesus who died for us, and that we have the ability to connect with God, Father. That we have the ability via the Holy Spirit to be spiritual, but to hear God's voice, to walk in His will, that the Holy Spirit will remind us of things. Thank you. It is such a beautiful, awesome, miraculous Trinity, and it's all available to us, and we thank you for that, Lord. We so much thank you. And we come, Father, we repent, where we missed it, or where we didn't know we have to ask you, or we didn't want to. Lord, we repent. And thank you that you say in your word, whenever we say we are sorry or we repent, you will always forgive us. Father, I speak that each one of us in our own way will focus on who you are and what is on your heart to us, and why we are here, and what you put in us. Because God, you made us, show me all the colors. And I feel it's saying, Father, that you created us so beautifully different, but together we are white light, the purest light. And we're supposed to be pure. Our church, your body, needs to purify ourselves so that we are ready when Jesus comes, Father. So thank you. All our different colors together is pure. Lord, help us to get there. If this is the first time you hear of this, while all eyes are closed, and you know a little of Jesus, or you've never publicly said, I choose Jesus. I know I need him. I miss the mark so often. I repent of that. Lord Jesus, come and help me. And if you feel stirred today, it's the Holy Spirit. He stirs you. It is not some evil thing. It is God luring you closer to him. He wants you to be closer. So if there's anyone today in the congregation, while all people's eyes are closed, that you say you've never publicly declared that you will follow Jesus, that you want him, that you need him, will you be so kind to raise your hand? Anyone still struggling or never had a connection with God or cannot hear his voice, Lord, we want to speak your will over people, Lord. I ask you also, if you struggle to hear God's voice, if you don't know how to connect like in the lungs, how to get the oxygen and how to bring it out into the rest of your life, please come to the front. There is no shame, there is no intimidation. It's a safe place where we can pray with you to open your ears. God wants your ears to be open and your understanding. And don't, you know, we learn in the Bible that we can quench the Holy Spirit. When we quench the Holy Spirit, it is when you spring God with his Holy Spirit stirs you to come and react on, for example, the altar call or on something I pray, and you feel, no, I'm not going to go. This is not for me. I was there. I know how that feels. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Come into God's presence. Let us pray for one another. And no one here has arrived. Also those who facilitate in prayer, we're dependent on God. Without God, we are nothing. So let's together walk the way. Is there anyone here who do hear God, who do find him sometimes, who do pray with him and give him a chance to answer? But you're not so into obeying. You're not so into taking his advice as important or serious. That you think, perhaps my own ways are better. Come and repent, or you can repent where you stand. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it. I've learned that God often stops talking to you if he shared something with you and you didn't obey. Then it's as if he sees you're not into it. We're not into it. So let's repent and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I missed it. Or remind me of where I missed it, or where I didn't want to, or where I thought it was not you, or where I didn't take you serious, Father. And I speak that your ears will be open, that your heart will hear, that you will listen of what is on his heart for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I feel also that God shares with me that he is someone who has a heartbrokenness. You feel you just can't. You can't connect with God. You are so broken. You are just so full of pain. And it prevents you to come to God. It's as if it blocks you. And I feel God is saying to me that it was while I was making a sermon, he shared this already, that it's a hold the enemy has put on you. He wants you to be stuck in your pain. And he wants you to be stuck in your brokenness. And you think you can use it as an excuse of not moving forward. It's not. God wants to heal you today. Come that we can pray with you and break that thing that makes you feel like jelly, as if you're lame, as if you have no energy and power to do anything to step out. Thank you, Lord, that you're gonna set this person free. And if you think there's no joy in this sacrificial life, this life of following Jesus and following him and asking what he wants, and now I won't go overseas or go on a trip or do whatever I want. It's a wrong thinking. It is joyful to follow God. There's so much fruit in it. There's so much blessings in it. I can testify of it. But I know if you haven't tasted it yet, it seems to just look terrible and feel terrible. I also feel that God is saying, you need prayer to break agreement with that wrong thinking. It is not the thinking that comes from God. It's the enemy who wants you to keep away of God. Lord, as we stand, we pray for strength. Father, I pray for joy, peace, and love through you to ourselves and to others for the rest of the year, Lord. Father, thank you that we will not be overwhelmed. Father, thank you for every person who is here today. Father, thank you that no one will feel condemned, because you are not a God of condemnation. You will stir us, and we have the choice to react. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. In the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing one or two songs. But I ask you, if the Holy Spirit stirred you today, please don't leave. Just come to the front, to that side where Dad can stay. And I ask the small group leaders that you will come and help and pray and facilitate. You know, God wants to speak to those persons who come and react. So, they will pray with you while the others will sing a few songs, and then you're so welcome to join us for coffee and tea afterwards. And I hope this doesn't come. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.